B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Mass.
Yeah, Mass, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Mass.
It's time for Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, final hour of the program. The thing we're talking about with Belichick losing some personnel power comes from a Burt Breer story yesterday. We didn't get to this yesterday, so we're getting to it today, where he alludes to the fact, first of all, Kraft made that comment last week in his conference call about how we haven't drafted very well the last couple of years, but I've seen a different approach this offseason. So what does he mean by different approach? And Burt says that his sense is that right now that is translated inside the building in a more collaborative Belichick, who's listening not just to his top guys, Dave Ziegler and Elliott Wolf, but also those rising through the organization like National Scout Matt Groh. So to say there's a more collaborative Belichick, if you just translate that, that means that he's actually deferring or listening to other people and ultimately will when the draft cards have to be submitted, which means it's not just him as a, you know, as a committee of one, just at the very last dictating who gets drafted. So that means, by definition, he's lost some control. And so I think he deserves to have. But that's a delicate little thing. Telling a guy who's controlled his roster for 20 years that you're going to have a little less control on that. And I'm sure that was a delicate thing they had to walk there inside the building, Miss.
Well, so look, again, I'm sure Kraft leveraged him with it. Because I think that's the only way you get Bill to do anything is you have to leverage him. And even then, I don't know what your chances are. It's probably not 50-50. But my guess is that the Krafts went to them and said, or Bill went to the Krafts and said, I need money. We got to buy some players. And Kraft said to him, okay, fine. You want to buy players? No problem. I understand. We've had some bad drafts. I'll give you the money. We've got to start looking at why the drafts haven't been good. So I want you to start listening to your people. Why do all these guys, why have all these people in the scouting department left in the last 3 years? Why does that keep happening? And so if we're going to now delve into free agency, if you're asking me to invest in free agency, I'll do it. But we have to solve the bigger problem, which is why we can't draft well. So you have to cooperate. And my guess is Bill took it. Like if it was something like that. And again, that's just a simple dramatization for you. So the other thing I said to you is, you know, Bill's got his kids on the staff now. That's got to mean something to him.
Yes, he's got to make nice to the owner because he's employing the whole family.
So what's he going to do, leave?
Right.
He's going to leave and cost his kids jobs too?
Right. No, Bill's got to play ball. He'll play ball. But Breer writes that in the past, Maz, Belichick has had a very closed-off process. It's led to personnel people feeling like they were actively cut out where other teams' people weren't. In essence, says Breer, the Patriots scouts would do their jobs through the season and then hand off the process to Belichick and the coaches in February, with only a couple of guys on the personnel side really consistently involved from that point forward. Where most teams had draft meetings with their scouts in February and then again in April, the Patriots would have their meetings with scouts in December and February. And at that early point, it's tough to set the board, with 2.5 months of information still to come. From there on, says Burt, the scouts would just be gatherers, which frustrated plenty of them and played into the exodus in the scouting department the last few years. He says it also, as some saw it, led to misses like N'Keal Harry in 2019. N'Keal Harry killed, did very well in his 30 personal visits that spring and had a college coach, Todd Graham, who was close to Belichick. To that end, without more input from Patriot scouts who preferred Debo Samuel and A.J. Brown, Belichick wound up leaning on his experience with Harry rather than the red flags his scouts planted, and lost a golden opportunity to fill a hole on his roster.
No, but the key line there is that it wasn't his experience from working Harry out. It was that one of his Bobos liked him.
And Harry kissed his ass in the personal meeting, as he did with the other 30 teams, I guess, or whatever. Like, Harry was good one-on-one in the personal meetings. So Bill gets duped by that. No, he's good in the meeting. I looked him in the eye. It felt like he was telling me the truth. I like the look of this kid. And, yeah, the coach vouches for him. So that's who we're taking. Scouting reports? What? There's red flags? He can't run routes? Never mind. The coach says he's pretty good, and I liked him. So that's who we're taking. And I think it's reached a point where Robert has said, Bill, we're gonna try a different approach this time.
Yeah, how did Burt phrase it at the beginning? The scouts felt like they were squeezed out? You know why they felt that way?
Because they were.
That's why. They were squeezed out. So this is the problem when you're someone like Bill. And I say the problem of being that accomplished and that, you know, successful and that good, that eventually you get to the point where you say, I got all the answers. And the fact is, nobody has all the answers. Three most important words in the English language, as they say, I don't know. I don't know. Except Bill doesn't know them. He doesn't know those words. So what does he do? His scouts come in, his evaluators come in, and they say, well, this guy does this guy does that. And Bill goes, yeah, we're going to take N'Keal Harry. I mean, the whole thing goes like that.
So I wonder if Josh McDaniels also has a seat at the table. And I think you guys make a great point of both Ziegler, he's the new Caserio, was plucked from taking, was he interviewing for the GM job in Denver?
I think that's right.
The head guy under Elway who because he had, you know, my guy has had such a rough go of it the last couple of years. He's lost power, right? So the Patriots kept Ziegler from being a full GM in Denver to come back here and work under Bill Belichick.
Yep.
And the only way that happens in my mind is if Kraft pays him accordingly and Ziegler gets promised that he actually gets to make some decisions and not just gets stepped on by Bill when it comes time to hand in the card. So I feel like there's a Kraft-Ziegler thing there. There has to be to keep him out of Denver.
I mean, it makes sense because, again, at that time, Ziegler was getting a lot of pub. He was getting a lot of love. And because it coincided with the Caserio thing. When Caserio left, it was, oh, now they got to keep Ziegler. They got to keep him.
And who else in the last couple of years got pulled off a plane to return to New England?
Murray.
Josh McDaniels.
Okay. So that, again, I think they pay him exceptionally well. And that's a contract thing, too, to get him to turn down a head coaching job, to not step on that plane, Ursay's plane, and get back to Indianapolis. They kept him with a good contract, and who knows? Maybe there's an alliance there. Maybe there's Kraft and Josh McDaniels are good. And so between all of this, that when it comes time to hand in the card and it's a receiver, then it's not Bill making that call. It's some combination of Ziegler and or Josh McDaniels. And that's what's going to be going on this year, and that's why Kraft is saying he's seeing a different approach.
Yeah, you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay with that, particularly if it's at the skill positions on offense or there are designated areas. You know, like if they're going to draft defense in the first round, I want Bill making the pick.
Fine with
totally,
me.
Yeah.
Right? I want Bill making the pick. If they're going to go for a skill position player, uh-uh.
Quarterback.
And then if they draft a guy.
Who gets the quarterback?
Oh, I wouldn't want McDaniels doing it because, again, he took Tebow.
Here's what I would say. Who took Garoppolo?
So, right. I don't mind Bill making the call. And I still have faith in Belichick. If he, you know, just drops all the crap, drops the ego or trying to prove a point or, you know, playing to his buddies or like all the little problems that he's run into. If he just sits there and evaluates the football player, I still have a lot of faith in him.
Yeah, just be willing to listen to other people and not just the guys you know from the schools that they work at.
Right. So I want Bill picking the next quarterback, not Josh. I think he has to be goosed into actually doing it, though. Like, I still don't think Bill wants to give up high draft picks or big money for that player because that sort of costs him control on the roster as well.
Well, maybe Kraft's in agreement with him on that one.
Well, that's like, so that's where the owner comes in too. No, Bill, we're actually going to take the quarterback here, or we're actually going to target the guy up high, and this is what we're doing this year.
I hope so.
And that can come from the owner. I think that's legit. I mean, that's sort of where you don't want to take that too far because then you become Dan Snyder sitting there and you're drafting Dwayne Haskins or like, you know, that's when you run into real trouble. But as a broad organizational philosophy, we're really going to look at these guys and we're really going to, you know, if it's there up high, we're going to invest in it. And that's okay to say that, generally speaking.
I mean, that whole, absolutely it is, totally. And the whole approach of, you know, only talking to your guys, whether it's a quarterback or anybody else, think of how many players you shut yourself off to because of that. So if you don't have a good relationship with the coach at a certain program or university, you're not looking at their players because you don't trust the evaluation of it? Is that what the deal is? Which comes back to the point you were making earlier, which is, okay, so you don't trust your evaluators, you don't trust your scouts. Then why are you paying them?
Yeah, well, that's what the owner would say. Why are we paying these guys again, Bill, if you're just going to ignore their reports and stop meeting in February when the draft's in April? Like, what's the point of this?
Yeah, I'll tell you. You know, and I'm bouncing around here a little, but when you talk, I want Bill involved in the quarterback pick. I don't want Bill to just defer that to McDaniels. I don't want that. But if, you know, can they talk about it?
Yep.
Can they have a back and forth
on
it?
And again, Kraft's in the draft room, so he can see. Are you collaborating? or you know, turning your back to the advice you've been given. And I think this is just, this is something they should have looked at. They are looking at, and good for them.
Even if he's agreed to it, right? And this has happened, and part of it was a trade-off, like you speculate, Maz, that it's like, okay, we'll let you spend all this money, but you got to give up some power. He can't be happy about it.
No, he can't be. But you know what? At the end of the day, again, see, his kids are involved now.
Could not have been a great conversation, but Bill will play ball.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, really, what are his options at this stage? F you, I'm retiring? Because you know the Krafts aren't letting him go into the final year of his contract. So they're having leverage on that one.
Well, isn't that the other part then? Like, what? Because we don't know, but how much time do you think is left on the deal?
It's not 1 year. I mean, I don't know that, but I doubt that they would ever let it get to that point.
So, I mean, I don't know. It just, maybe there was a point where Bill would go and start over somewhere else. Is he going to do it now?
No.
When he's this close to the finish line and his family's ensconced, as you keep saying, he don't want to blow. He doesn't want to pull a Parcells and tip over the draft table and storm out and go somewhere else. Yeah, I don't think at 69 and start all over.
I got a lot of money down in Big D.
It's you know, now that I think of it, it's probably why the Krafts ultimately tolerate the nepotism part of it and having the kids on the staff, whether they deserve it or not, because it does give them some leverage over Bill.
Okay, well,
because he's going to sacrifice for his kids.
Yeah. Well, so there's the reset of that topic. Add it to the list of everything else, and we'll go right to your calls after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Honestly, Trenny, I think that the best thing that Bill Belichick could do for his football team, the smartest thing that he could do, and the most persuasive thing he could do would be to divest himself of all offensive personnel responsibilities at the skill positions. I'm not talking offensive line. I'm talking he's got to get a different voice in there. We've heard different people around the league. We've heard former Patriots executives. I've talked to them. And you ask, how's this person going to do in a personnel position that's higher on? They go, doesn't make any difference. Bill makes all the decisions. You can have whatever poobah role you want, but it doesn't make a difference. Bill's making the decisions. And what have the decisions yielded offensively?
So let me get this straight. You think the best thing for the Patriots' future is for Bill Belichick to no longer be in charge of the offense?
To no longer have as great a say in who the Patriots bring in on the offensive side of the football. He can have final say, but at some point he has to deal somebody else into the equation, whether that's Dave Ziegler, whether it should have been Nick Caserio, whether it should be Josh McDaniels, whether it should be, you know, the ghost of Dante Scarnecchia. Somebody has to help out with figuring out that you can't lowball everybody at wide receiver and you can't play NFL football without tight ends and that it matters who's playing quarterback for you. And you're not going to game it up and scheme it up every single week. You're going to have to outscore some teams too.
So we've tied that all together. That was Tom Curran a couple weeks ago. Kind of out of nowhere, fire Bill Belichick from the offense. Headline, fire Bill from the offense. That's basically what he's saying. And again, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I mean, you heard him there. So is that all? Is this all a piece? You know, the good opinion guys are also actually talking to people. And so that's why guys like Curran and Gasper and these guys are valuable, Bedard, because it's not just, it's coming from someplace. So is Curran coming from someplace there?
I mean, when you link it to what Burt Breer just wrote,
yeah,
it's hard to not think that that was, you know, that was informed. Correct. I don't want to say sourced, informed. Yeah, I think Tom had an inkling that something was going on the inside. And you know, again, now it has played out that way because some of the pieces have been put in place where the decisions have been more formalized. And so he, you know, he was on to something, which, again, I think is good. Look, Bill runs an operation, and Mike, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but Bill runs an operation where everybody's held accountable. If someone's performance slips, they are expected to take a pay cut or their role changes, or if there's any sort of deterioration there, well, who holds him accountable?
There you go. Maybe he's been held accountable this offseason.
I mean, I hope so.
All right, so that's just I find an interesting little angle there that we've struck on. David in Brookline. Go ahead, David.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hi.
Hey. I just wanted to say, first of all, it's so great to see you back on TV, Felger. I mean, going back to when it was part of NBC and you had great programs and I really missed. So now I have you on record.
Thank you, David. 10 o'clock, NBC Sports Boston. After Celtics post-game tonight on TV. Go ahead. What do you got for us on the Patriots?
Mike Hawley Show.
So I don't know if people have brought this up, but I thought that the 49ers were going to make a run at Matt Ryan. And then I thought Garoppolo would fall to us. But now, I mean, I just don't get why, at least until halfway through the season, San Francisco would be willing to get rid of Garoppolo, because whoever they take is going to have to learn the system and all that stuff.
He's too expensive, David. Like, that's the, you know, if Garoppolo cost half of what he cost, Dave, and thanks for the call, it's a no-brainer. You keep Garoppolo as you're bringing the rookie along.
Yeah, we're not even having this conversation.
It's not even like Garoppolo's a valuable piece. Knows the system, has proven you can win with him. He doesn't cost you much, and he's the guy until the rookie's ready. Perfect. He makes $24 million. That's different. Like, so for the owner to do that with that at that salary would make that owner exceedingly generous. And in my mind, really just all about the winning. That's just $24 million out of his pocket. That's all that that is. And just to have the best transition into the next guy, I would give the Yorks or whoever's running the show out there right now a lot of credit for doing that, because it's pretty rare. You know, the backups, the big backup money's 10. Like, that's about it. You don't pay 25 for a guy. And I'm not that Garoppolo would back up, but as a placeholder guy, that's a lot. When Alex Smith was a placeholder for Pat Mahomes 3 years ago in Kansas City, he made 10. So that's the, that to me is sort of the threshold there. At 24, that's why the Niners would move on. So I would just say this, Maz, you know, Bridgewater would make much more financial sense for them to be the bridge guy, much more.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But Garoppolo probably gives them a better chance to win. I think Garoppolo's a better player, for sure. I mean, and, you know.
And there's a familiarity with the system.
Bingo. That's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a big part of it. Yeah, it's a big part of it. And look, you know, the other thing is, as you listen to it, and I know Bert has said, you know, in the last several days, I'm sure he's written it too, but I know that he has said, well, you know, at this stage, I think San Francisco would take a first. If you offered him number 15, they would do it, and they'd send you Garoppolo right now. Well, wait a minute. Like, you're either committed to the guy or you're not. Like, the development of Mac Jones shouldn't depend on what you get for Garoppolo. You know, what about all that crap they fed us about, you know, we think we can win now. And so what? Why does it matter what someone offers you? If you think the player can play now and you can win with him now, why would you give him away?
Let's grab a couple. It's a good point. Let's grab a couple Red Sox calls here for Maz. Chris in Hartford, go.
Yeah, Maz. Yeah, Mike, thanks for taking my call. What's up, Murray? Right. Dabak, when it comes to, like, adjusting to the pitches, he had 93-94 by him the other day. He's not in the lineup again today. Five strikeouts, 10 at-bats. It's very tough to play at the major league level. I'm out on him. Cora's not playing this year. Cora's not playing this year. But listen, you...
Well, let me stop you there. So Dahlbeck can't get in the lineup now?
Yeah, so look, apparently he got hit by a pitch at the end of spring training, too, and they think he get into bad habits, which is telling me he's probably fallen off the plate. He's afraid to get hit, so pitchers are pitching him away, and he can't get there. Now, again, I didn't pay close enough attention, and Cora said that tonight. I'll keep an eye on it. Glasnow's on the mound tonight. Dahlbeck has sucked.
Right. If you're struggling, this is not the guy you want to face.
So there's a lefty going tomorrow, day game. So you know what they said to Dahlbeck? Grab some pine pill. Have a seat. You know, pick your splinters and wait. You'll play tomorrow. We're going to ease you back in tomorrow, and I don't think that's the wrong approach.
Carl and Grafton on the Sox. Go.
Hey, Maz, I just think that there's going to be a lot of parity this year in the entire division. I mean, we were talking about the Yankees last week of how they're far and above, but I don't know. Like, it's so back and forth. I mean, I give the Red Sox credit for last night. I mean, that was a good win. They, like you said, they got out of the jams and they punished them when they made mistakes. But I just think the parity's – I want to know what you think about the parity.
Well, Carl, so one win here and the AL East is wide open?
Seriously.
Not one, but they – you know, the pitching for the Red Sox is bad. If they could get out of stuff like they did before and, you know, go 1-4, get Rodriguez back, they're just as likely to win as Toronto is.
Okay. I might give you that. The Yankees?
No, please. Again, everybody's saying this now. It's become like the flavor of the month. Cora made a comment earlier on about how, you know, the division is pretty even all the way through. And I went, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. The Yankees are going to stomp on everybody. Toronto's got a shot if they catch fire. And there is ability there. They got talent. Like, they've impressed me early here, but it's only four games. So they have a good team. Do they have a team that can beat the Yankees? Stop. Like, the Yankees are a wagon. They're loaded. If the Yankees don't win 95 games at a minimum, it's a huge fail.
Thank you.
Huge. Stanton hit one 471 feet last night. Did you see that?
I read it. Oh, man.
Who needs the internet when you get that kind of porn on in the morning? Holy crap. It was a smash. It was an absolute smash. I'll stop now.
No, again, we have exclusive video of what it looked like when Maz saw that home run go out of the park. If you're watching the NBC Sports Boston simulcast, that was actually Maz celebrating Stanton's first game as a Yankee when he hit two.
He hit it over the monuments.
Did they get extra points for that, or they get two runs for that, or just the one?
I did.
Mark and Braintree on the Patriots. Go, Mark.
2 points.
Hey guys. I just got a couple of questions. I was reading the Herald today, and the Patriots were going to pick a cornerback, and I want to know why they wouldn't pick the linebacker from Penn State instead if they can't get a quarterback.
Okay. Two?
And they were trying to draft down to get Sims from UCLA. He's not a bad quarterback. What do you think of them two things?
Okay. I don't know who's a UCLA quarterback.
No idea.
I haven't heard of him. I've become vaguely familiar with the fringy guys, the Kellen Mond and the Kyle Trask, and then the kid at Wake Forest, and then the little kid at Notre Dame, and the inexperienced kid at Stanford. Like, I haven't heard anyone from UCLA.
No, and that's scary. Is Chip Kelly still the coach there?
I don't know.
See, that's precisely the kind of guy I don't want them to take.
Exactly, Bobo.
And on the cornerback thing, I would be okay with that, too. If you ended up with, like, a lockdown corner, Stephon Gilmore might not even be here. Even if he is, he's coming off a bad injury, and he's over 30.
Back to the corner? No.
I don't want Bill drafting it.
I want Bill drafting front seven there. I want Bill drafting his comfort zone. The only times he's had high first-round picks, whether it be Seymour, Warren, Mayo, Ty Warren. Did I just say Warren? But anyway, Seymour, Warren.
He did well with all those guys.
Mayo, even Wilfork, was 21. So, like, whenever he's had kind of a high-ish first-round pick, it's been defensive front seven. Never mind.
Offensive line.
Jones and Hightower, right, or offensive line. That's why I want Bill to stick.
Either a linebacker or someone that weighs three balloons. That's it.
If, like, the ball's in the air, I don't want Bill anywhere near the thing.
I'm not joking.
I'm not kidding.
And I would even leave tight end out because, again, they come in at 265. No good. A linebacker or someone who's three bells. That's it.
Final segment of your wonderful phone calls comes your way right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He can run a vertical route. He can run a comeback. And he may be able to run a post. That's Metcalf. Metcalf's a three-route runner. Now, all you fantasy players at home, if you like that, if you got those three routes in your offense, God bless you, take them. But you're going to have to run some option routes. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to run some in cuts. You're going to have to run some snags. You got to run a tree to be a really good receiver. To me, the kid, Keneal Harry.
Keneal Harry, yeah.
Now, to me, that's a legitimate receiver.
Right.
That guy can play anywhere on the field. He can play F inside. He can play X outside. He can go inside, make the catch. And when the ball's in his hands, he's a beast. He's a freaking beast. He can go get it. Now, everybody has him going late one, early two. Okay, great. You take Metcalf before him, you're an idiot. You're an idiot.
Yeah, we may overplay that cut a little bit, but it's worth it.
All-timer.
Really speaks to it. Like that, the N'Keal Harry pick is sort of like, I consider the straw that broke the camel's back, even though that, you know, it was two drafts ago. And he may have had some misses since then. But it feels like that one was just, that one stands out. There were so many good receivers.
You had to work to screw it up.
Yeah, really.
Who went that year. Like, there was, like, you know, literally like 7 of the 10 guys drafted in and around him have become really good at. So you had to work hard to pick the wrong guy there, and you did.
No, and Murray has said this a million times. You could have blindfolded someone, spun him in circles, slammed him into a wall to pin the tail on the donkey, and you'd have come up with a better receiver than N'Keal Harry. Seriously, like that is inept. That pick was inept.
And so that might have been the one that finally, you know, woke up the Crafts to say, you know what, Bill? I'm going to let some other guys in the room here. You're going to listen to the guys in the room. We're all going to collaborate. We're going to sort of relook at this process, and we're going to be more collaborative, which means you're going to lose a little bit of your yank, which I find fascinating if that's been going on there internally. All right, back to your phones. You can call us on whatever you want. We hit on some Bruins stuff earlier, just some Red Sox stuff, and our football items as usual. Pam in Connecticut has been waiting patiently. Thanks, Pam. What do you got?
I have to be honest. I don't know what your nauseating obsession is with Jimmy Garoppolo. You want to get rid of Rask because his durability. You want to get rid of almost all these players. When he was with us, he was injured, and Belichick was not happy with him, timeline coming back. You couldn't wait to – you even wanted to get rid of Brady at one point. And look what we're stuck with now because of all of that.
So you're blaming me?
The name is nauseating to me. Thank God for Jim Murray. That's all I can say.
Pam, thanks for the call. Good call.
Pam, call anytime.
Strong phone line, too.
Love it. Nope. Everything's soup to nuts. Solid call.
That first was caller I've ever liked from Connecticut.
Outstanding. No, it is true. Like, I mean, to me, the thought of Garoppolo with Bill, but in the same breath, he got hurt with Bill. So I should hold that against Garoppolo. I do hold that against Garoppolo. If you had a better quarterback here, we wouldn't be pulling it out for Garoppolo, Pam, every other day.
Correct.
So not to be inappropriate, I'm sorry, but it ties into the fact you don't have a guy.
No, you meant pulling out the depth chart.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean? It's like...
And not to have Pam turn on me, too, but even I, Pam, would welcome him back because ABC... Anybody but Cam. I don't want to watch Cam Newton again.
It really isn't. I'm sorry, Barry. It really is an indictment on their current situation more than anything.
I mean, that's what it is.
Yes.
I mean, I like Garoppolo. I like the thought of going from Brady to Garoppolo. I was in on all that. True. But if you had a real quarterback here right now, we wouldn't be going on and on about Jimmy effing Garoppolo.
No. And in fact, you've come a long way. A year ago, you wanted Hoyer.
Thank you. Yes, I'm easy. So yeah, Garoppolo's not the only sucky quarterback I've wanted, Pam. I've got a wide net there. Mitch in Providence. Go ahead, Mitch.
Yeah,
Mitch.
Hey, yeah, I got a question for Maz about the Yankees.
Go.
Yeah.
So what about the Yankees makes you think they're going to win first place?
The talent on the roster?
Do you think they're more talented in the World Series Rays and the Blue Jays?
I think they have more talent than the Rays. Yeah, the Rays lost a couple of pitchers, and the Blue Jays haven't won anything yet.
So what pitchers do the Yankees have besides Gerrit Cole? I know his contract's huge, and that's cool, but...
Okay, do they still have Tanaka?
I haven't really seen a ton.
No, they have Jameson Taillon.
Tanaka was... That's a great point, Felger. Tanaka was super.
No, I was asking, do they still have Tanaka?
No, they don't. How about the kid from Pittsburgh that they traded for, Jameson Taillon? I can never pronounce his name right. Jameson Taillon. Whatever. How about that guy? You don't think that that's a good pitcher? And again, I'll take the front end guy over anybody, just about Gerrit Cole. So why? Who do the Red Sox have? Like, and I don't know if he's caught about the Red Sox or not. The Yankees are better than everyone else in the division. Why does that bother people so much? You're going to suck this year anyway. Don't worry about it.
And even if they seemingly have found a good pitcher and someone like Tanner Houck, they're going to ship him down to AAA anyway. These idiots.
So I didn't know this.
Yeah, I've mentioned this in the headlines a few times. Ahead of the game tonight, Cora, doing his usual spot across the street, said that, you know, Houck is going to be in the bullpen tonight. And then Eduardo Rodriguez comes back when they play the Orioles again. And then when that happens, Houck goes down to Worcester.
No, I was going to say, I did not know that Tanaka pitches for the Tohoku Rakuten Golden Eagles of the Nippon Professional Baseball
League. He went back to Japan.
I didn't know that. All right, well, there you go.
He did. He went back to Japan.
The Yankees are still better than you, aren't
Absolutely.
They?
Absolutely, yeah.
People are getting pissed off because you're saying the Red Sox should be in it with the Yankees. Like, you're somehow sort of idiot if you think the Yankees are the favorite for the division?
I know. So it's not even about the Red Sox. It's just the audacity to pick the Yankees, even though, like, over who? So now all of a sudden everybody in Boston's Toronto fans. Like, they've embraced the Blue Jays as their own because your own team sucks so bad. So this is the Murray approach. You just root against the Yankees, which is fine.
Who's Toronto's ace?
They have, what's his name? Ryu from the Dodgers.
Okay.
Yeah, they're rotating. Toronto's pretty good. I mean, again, now I'll believe it when I see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always worry about, you know, these teams that are ready to make a jump, and sometimes they just don't.
And this year, I think I do know this, they are actually playing in a minor league park in Florida, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep, there's that too. Yep.
So they're without a home. They're one of these teams.
Yes, absolutely. And again, after Ryu, their rotation gets a little sketchy too. So I'm not, and they, you know, they signed George Springer during the offseason. So the Blue Jays are a good team, and they get some good young players. I mean, they're up and coming, but... You know, until you win, I will doubt you. Always.
Michael in Saugus has been waiting patiently as well. Thanks for hanging on, Mike. What do you got?
All right, so I was thinking, what do you guys think about Drew Luck? You know, I really think with Bill behind him, you know what I mean?
Drew Lockett. I mean, but I wouldn't give up a lot, and he would be just in my room to see if there's anything there, and you can develop him over time. I'm not bringing him in to be the starter. But you want to put him in the quarterback room and see what you got and, you know, get him with Josh and get him in the playbook? Yeah, I would do that.
The end of his first year when he was playing, I don't know if that was his first year or second year, I thought he showed something.
Yeah, I've seen snippets where I think he's looked the part.
But then he played here and made some of the worst decisions I've ever seen. He needs someone to beat it out of him.
Here, you mean the game here?
Yes, against the Patriots.
He just shucking it down the field.
Oh, my God, it was awful. But again, to me, that's coaching. Like, I look at that and say, what the hell is going on there? So... Get someone like him with Bill, because I think the kid has some ability.
Here's something we haven't done today, and I do want to just touch on it for like 30 seconds. Nick in the car on the Celtics. Go, Nick.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just had a question for all three of you guys. So say you're in Danny Ainge's position this offseason. Who is the number one guy you would target to acquire from the Celtics?
Holy crap. I don't know who's available.
The free agent market's bad.
I'd try to get Bradley Beal out of Washington and pair him here with Jason Tatum, even if that means you're going to move on from Jaylen Brown. But I would try to get Bradley Beal here.
I'm going to give you something that's unpopular, but you may not have a choice, because you pointed this out. They don't have many options to get talent.
They don't.
Okay, so their best chance might be to just re-sign Fournier.
Yeah, so unless they want to peel off one of the two,
right,
Tatum or Brown, in which case Murray's scenario, I still don't know if that's enough for the Bullets to say, you know, I mean, what Bradley Beal, I think, is a vastly superior offensive player for sure, maybe all-around player to Jaylen Brown.
Well, offensively, no doubt.
So if I'm Washington and you're giving me Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and a couple late first-round picks, I don't know if that's enough. I still don't know if I'm doing that. I'm not giving up the horse for the ponies.
I wouldn't do that either. I wouldn't do it if I were the Celtics. I don't think it puts you over the top.
Oh, Tatum and Beal get you closer, and maybe it jars Tatum loose a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I want something better for Brown if I'm moving him. And when I say
better than Bradley Beal? What's your problem?
Because he doesn't play the defensive end. He's not big enough.
Oh, my God. This is where we run into this trouble with Mazzy. Like, two players.
I want a guy with some size who can play both ends of the floor.
So you don't like Bradley Beal? You're out.
No, I like Bradley Beal.
You're out on Beal.
If he's the third guy, I'll take him.
Oh, my God.
If he's the second guy, I'm a no.
You're so... Give me a guy then.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, my
trade
God.
For Carl Anthony Towns somehow?
Yeah, like, so I'll tell you what, I had my doubts about him.
Oh,
too.
My God. Please. Email the day.
Save that for another day.
Email the day. Go.
That's tomorrow.
It's the Mondcast Email of the Day.
Yeah.
Dear Felga, I really hate you.
Still can't do math.
And I think Maz is a boob.
But he's smart with math.
Send one to Felger at 985thesportshub.com.
Email today is protected by Mimecast. Safeguard your organization against phishing, business email compromise, and risks of ransomware. Visit Mimecast, M-I-M-E, Mimecast.com. Real quick, before I read the email, I want to say this. Celtics, this is like the last gasp saloon for me to give them any sort of chance this year. Tonight, Philly, and then back-to-back at the Knicks, which should be a win. But if you can go back-to-back, then you'll wake me back up to the Celtics and say, okay. And they're without Fournier tonight, so it's going to be harder. But
for the rest of the week.
Yeah, I can't imagine he's playing. He's in COVID.
Yeah, Brad Stevens just said, though, like, yeah, I wouldn't expect to see him for the next week.
Either way, if you can beat Philly tonight and then go back-to-back, you'll wake me back up and say, okay, you guys still have it in you. You put it all together, you can make this interesting. Because right now, I've written them off. So I'm a slave to the scoreboard. If they pull that off this week, I'll give them a little bit of a shot there.
Yeah, look, again, tonight's a big one for me. I mean, you know, you've changed the roster a little bit. You got a couple of bigger bodies to stick in the middle. And Williams is going to play more against Embiid. Let's see what it looks like.
Okay, but if you lose, boy, this story, I'm going to pick apart the storyline of the Overnight, the Sixers vault you. You owned the Sixers for years, clearly the better team for the last 3 or 4 years, and now they've passed you. And how did they pass you?
Doc Rivers.
He changed the coach. All right, that's for tomorrow. Win or lose, some stakes tonight, which is what I'm looking forward to. Email today, protected by Mimecast, mimecast.com. Yeah. Colleen writes in, OMG, it is maddening listening to you three guys. All you've done for the past few weeks is complain about how much money the Patriots have just spent. Now you're going to complain about them going cheap on Teddy Bridgewater? This is amazing. Are they cheap or do they spend too much money? Good Lord, says Colleen. Are they cheap or do they spend too much money?
Who's bitched about them spending money?
Well, I'll just answer the question. They're cheap. They're cheap. Mike Luddy writes in, subject line, dictator. You call a coach who has helped you keep your job for many years a dictator? Without those 20 years of success, few people would have even heard of the Dorky and Maz show. Please go home to Wisconsin. Please, sign Mike. And it's too late for that, Mike. I'm stuck here.
Dorky?
Been here 32 years. Dorky and Maz.
I don't know that I would call you Dorky.
Well, what can I tell you? He doesn't like me calling Bill a dictator. Just is what it is.
And we've all benefited from the Brady and Patriot industrial complex.
Absolutely. My point here, Mike, is that we're trying to keep it going. 7-9 and being irrelevant, right, does not keep Dorky and Maz in business. We need them to be good. So on this, we're actually aligned, whether you know it or not. The final word is...
It's actually Dorky and Dorkier.
Final word is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
Nobody.
All right, today in the final word, maybe the greatest example of why the math should never be done live on air on this show. It's Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater math. Is due $10 million guaranteed next year by the Carolina Panthers. He's on the books for $17, but 10 of it is guaranteed. I believe there's, again, listen to Mike Florio's reporting, there's offset language in there that the Panthers are on the hook for that $10 million. So, in other words, if Teddy Bridgewater gets released and you sign him for $11 million, you only pay him one, and Carolina pays him 10. Or, again, if you sign him for eight, I don't know how that works. Carolina pays him all eight, you don't pay him a dime. I think you have to pay him something. But there's offset language there where Carolina picks up the salary or $10 million of it.
I think whatever you sign him for gets subtracted but from the $10 million is basically how it works.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is, what if it's less than $10 million? Let's not do it on the air.
No, he gets his money no matter what.
Right, exactly. So you pay him zero?
No, you're giving him something no matter what.
Do you understand what I'm saying, Murray?
Yeah. Let's.
Okay, does Maz understand what I'm saying?
Nope.
No, if
if you sign him for 11, the Carolina Panthers pay him 10, you pay him one. What if you sign him for 8?
I think they pay the whole thing.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. You don't pay him a dime?
I don't believe that's right. Although, see, I go ahead. I think, no, you got to pay him a minimum salary.
I'm not talking French here, am I, Murray?
No. The Patriots have to pay him something.
Right,
but you just subtract that from the 10, and then the Carolina pays the difference.
The point is, someone else is footing his bill.
That's that Tufts thing. He sees an equation, he's determined to solve it.
No, I mean, like, he can give me, like, in-depth, intricate formulas. But that thing, he for some reason...
No, because, again, I think you're looking at it the wrong way. The Patriots have to sign him for something. Right, so let's say it's the minimum.
Let's say it's 9.5 million. Let's say it's 9.99 million, just to f with the Panthers.
Yeah, but it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. They sign him for whatever they want. He gets released. They sign him for whatever they want, and then it's just subtracted from the 10, and the Panthers have to pay the balance.
This went exactly as I thought it was going to.
What?
I knew it was going to.
Yeah, I mean, you put up the stop sign. That was the best part.
But you know what? I thought today we'd explore it.
But you're not following it. They can't pay him zero. They have to pay him something, so there's a veteran minimum there, right?
What if you pay him 8?
You don't pay him in.
You pay him zero.
They would just tack it on to whatever he's making on the 10.
I knew this was happening. No, they don't tack it on. But you're right, Maz. If it's anything under 10, you just called veteran minimum salary of $1 million, and they pay the other nine.
Yeah, I mean, you can set a watch to that happening.
Oh,
every
no, I
single
knew it
time.
Was coming.
And the other one, too, that
Let's
I've always
Let's do it again
loved.
Tomorrow.
On all my years on the show is during the 10-question segment with Bedard, when you get to Maz, and you'll have a question like, give me a trade that makes sense for Aaron Rodgers. And Maz always answers with a question like,
you mean now or into the future?
Yeah. So when you say a trade, do you mean a team like with three teams or just two teams, Mike?
Can I include picks?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I like to be detailed. Okay.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay.
You want me to follow? I need to know where the lines are.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.